Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. Super excited to have Abraham John back with us today. If you've never heard of Abraham, you're in for a treat. But honestly, I'd probably recommend you pause this video, go watch the last one on the Tree of Life, and really the multiple videos before that I've interviewed Abraham a number of times. Just a blessing to me, my family, my patients, and the audience. We always get such great feedback, Abraham. So thank you for being with us today. A few opening comments. I wanted to say, someone sent me a video that just recently, and it was a podcast. And the reason they sent it to me was 6 million views in just the first few days. A little controversial. I'm not going to get into it much, but it was a Sean Ryan podcast where he interviewed Candace Owens. I watched part of that. But what I took home from that is, man, there's this awakening. Candace talked about Charlie Kirk having a dream that he really felt like he was going to die early and his death would be a part of a great awakening, which I think a lot of us feel right now. We're starting to discover, and a lot of things are being revealed through the Epstein files and different things going on in the earth right now. But where my attention went, as it always does, is what are we going to do about it? And that's part of that podcast went to that question, too. And I don't hear anyone really giving great solutions. I mean, there are definitely some. I mean, I think we've had some the last couple of weeks. Jamie Winship talking about kingdom versus empire. Leif Hetland talking about chair one and chair two. Abraham John, tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we're starting to see, I think more and more people are starting to see how to look at things in the earth in this way. There's two kingdoms. Recently, I heard Abraham on a YouTube talking about only two governments have been in the earth from Genesis to Revelation, two forms of government. We're going to talk about that today. He also mentioned in this video I was listening to that government is a spiritual entity. I never heard that before, so we're going to talk about that today. Abraham talked about how the first democratic attempt by humans, and we'll talk about how that went and how it continues to go. Abraham talked about how God did not interfere with Adam's choice. That was the first rejection of God by man, Adam. God did not interfere with the Israelites' choice of a king instead of God. God did not interfere with the people's choice of Barabbas over Jesus. The great three rejections by humanity of God. And God's not going to interfere with our choice. If we choose to try to redeem an institution of man to fix what's going on in the earth, as opposed to seeking God's original blueprint, his original intent, that's what we got to seek, because that's where the answer lies and that's where freedom lies. And the last thing that I wrote down that I heard Abraham say the other day is there's nothing left in the end times stuff except for people to wake up. And like I said, talking about those other podcasts, a lot of people are waking up, but a complete wake up to the actual very, very, very beginning of what went wrong. And that's going to God's original intent for the earth, for humans. We got to wake up fully. But Abraham, I'll let you maybe finish that sentence where you said the only thing left is for us to wake up. Wake up to what? That's what we're going to talk about today. And specifically in relationship to authority in the earth, governments in the earth, and what was God's original intent? And is he kind of waiting on humans to wake up to that? But I'll throw it to you, Abraham, if you want to answer that question or any comments on things I said in the intro. But we sure are excited to have you back. I know you're about to set out on a worldwide mission and hit lots of different countries and places. So thank you for making time today.
Thank you, Dr. Ben. It's always such a joy and a pleasure to be with you on this podcast, because of what God is doing, with where God is taken you so far, and you're continuing this journey on full steam. So we want to appreciate you for being that beacon of light and hope to a dying world and people who are looking for answers, solutions. Thank you for being, providing, sharing the light, and also bringing others with you sharing on this platform what God has put in their hearts. So when you were sharing about the previous podcast, I sensed a theme that God is weaving things together through different voices, that we are going somewhere. God is doing something through even this podcast that you are doing on You Are the Cure. And that touched me deeply when I came in last time, when you said, welcome to You Are the Cure. So you might have said that in a healing perspective of physical illness or diseases or what people are emotionally going through. But in every aspect, God intended for us to be the restorer, the healer. You are the cure. Humans have been looking at the wrong sources for so many years, decades, centuries. We looked at religion to heal us. But as you know, religion did not heal us. It deepened the wound. It deepened the division. It deepened the guilt and the deepened the whatever issue or the sin consciousness that we grew up with. What religion came, it added more fuel to the problem. It didn't give us the solution. Then we thought maybe politics is the solution. So we put our hopes and trust in our leaders, in our governments. As you know, every nation on this earth is like a boiling pot. Every nation. There's not a nation on this earth that you can find peace, where stability, people are satisfied or happy. None. Not even one. That means that's not the cure. The systems that we put our hope and our trust, it's not the cure. Then we put our hope in education, you know, to heal us. Maybe getting a good education, getting a good job is the solution. It's going to heal, solve our financial problem. You ask people that are employed, did that employment cure their financial problem? They will tell you, my God, the employment and their education did not solve. Maybe some few out there, there's always an exception, but majority, that employment, that education did not solve, did not cure their financial woe or answer the solution to their fundamental questions every human heart has been crying. So we are at a defining moment on the earth. Defining moment means God is giving humans, you and I, another opportunity. And we are going to go back from Adam to Israel to the church, where God entrusted humans with the right to choose. And we are experiencing now the consequences of those choices our forefathers made since Adam. So in the history, in this moment where we are now, God Almighty, oh, I sense that, you know, whenever I talk like this, I sense the unction of God. God Almighty is giving us another opportunity to choose which direction we want to go. That's why I call it a defining moment, personally, in your life, corporately, and nationally, and globally. Humanity is given another choice. So like Dr. Ben said, what is left is for our awakening. What does that mean? You know, we have been told this is the end time, this is the last days, but those last days and end time was written to a first century Christian. They didn't think they were writing to somebody who's going to live 2,000 years later. They didn't write in that perspective. The message was not given in that capacity or timeline. It was meant for that first generation believers who are living in Asia Minor. So we are also at the midst of this great awakening, like you just said, awakening into what? We are going back to the beginning. We are going back to God's original blueprint. And you might have heard the stories of Genesis 1 and 2 and 3. And people talk about it as creation stories. Let me tell you something. They are not creation stories. They are God's original blueprint revealed to humanity. That's God's architectural plan for life on earth. Everything we need to know about life, family, health, emotional life, spiritual life, economy, government is revealed in those two chapters. Can you imagine God Almighty including every aspect of our life in two chapters? And there are millions of books written about those two chapters, and we haven't still exhausted. I've been preaching about from those two chapters. I've been writing from those two chapters now for the last 20 years. I haven't even exhausted a word what God really meant, the fullness of the understanding He included in those two chapters, their encyclopedia. And we are beginning to discover. And when I discovered that everything Jesus spoke while He was on the earth, He took it from Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We think church is a new idea Jesus came up with. No, no, no. Church existed in eternity. There is an ecclesia in heaven. In Hebrews 12, 28, we read about this ecclesia that is in heaven, the ecclesia of the firstborn. So church is not a new idea or a concept Jesus came up with. It was there in the Garden of Eden. What is ecclesia supposed to mean? Mankind meeting with God, their king, for direction, for purpose, for guidance, for communion, for fellowship. That is what ecclesia is supposed to mean. So anytime anybody met with God, whether Moses or Abraham or Adam or us, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered anywhere, building is not specified, sound system is not needed, keyboard is not necessary, flags, nothing is necessary. Where two or three in the kitchen, coffee table, coffee house, anywhere on a beach, Jesus, the King, promised to be with them. That is called an ecclesia. David met with God. He had a tent that's supposed to be the government, that was a representation of God's government. So the question, to answer the question, Dr. Ben, where we are going, this awakening, we are going back to the beginning. We are going back to God's original blueprint. He doesn't have plan B. Just because Adam sinned, God did not come up with a plan B. God still have plan A, and that plan A will be fulfilled. That is the process we are in.
Amen.
Yeah.
Define, I heard you in another video, define for the people what you would say government is.
Yeah.
What's that word mean? And then you say there's only been two forms of government from Genesis through Revelation. Explain that a little, please.
So God created this earth for what? To establish His kingdom. God is king. Old Testament, New Testament talks about our God being a king. It is the nature of kings to expand their kingdom into new territories. That's what happened in all throughout the history on the earth. And God is king. He has a kingdom, which is called the kingdom of heaven. And He created the earth to expand that kingdom on earth. Then He created us, humans. Why humans? Because God is spirit. He doesn't live on the earth. Heaven is His throne. Earth is His footstool. But He wants a legal entity that will provide Him a dwelling place so that He can do His will on earth. That's why He came down, took us, our body, from the earth. So, doctor, you are dealing with the body mainly. The elements by which this body is made of, God took that from the earth. Every cure that you need, your body needs, it's God included in the nature on the earth, because our body was taken from the earth. So anytime something goes wrong with a product or a gadget, you take it to the source. Just like an Apple phone or your car, you go to the dealership. So when your body is not functioning, where do you go? Go back to where it is taken from: movement, health, diet, relationships, which is important. So when God created us, He put Himself inside us. Who is a human? A spirit living in an earth suit, which is our body. A spirit living in an earth suit, that is a human. Whose spirit? God's spirit. So He created us in Genesis 1:26. He said, "Let us create man in our image, in our likeness." Then He handed over. This is a very important statement for us to understand. He handed over the right to rule this earth to humans. He said, "Let them have dominion." And that word has been misinterpreted by different streams of Christianity and throughout the ages, because people did not understand what dominion meant. It's a kingdom word. Dominion doesn't mean domination, taking over somebody's property or nation or other people ruling over them. That is not what dominion means. It is a misinterpretation, because God did not say have dominion over other humans, other creatures, and the earth. So God gave Adam the right to choose what type of government he wanted on the earth. So He gave him two choices, because government existed in God. It came from God. It's not a human invention. That's why I said in the beginning, or Dr. Ben said from the teachings that he watched on YouTube, government is a spiritual entity. Why? Because it originated in God. Because God is spirit. Anything originate from Him, we originated from Him because we are spirits. Amen. So government, God is king. He has a kingdom. He has a government. Government existed way before humanity ever existed. All this earth existed. Government is old as God and His kingdom. It came into existence in eternity. So government is not a new thing. But when we think of government, we think of politics. We think of prime ministers, presidents, buildings, capital buildings, thrones, and palaces. That's not what should come to our mind when we think about God's government. So He gave Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2. Let me just read that verse here. Genesis chapter 2, God, the first coming of God's kingdom and His government on the earth. The first coming of God's kingdom and His government on the earth. Genesis 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." So sometimes we just read these lines and we don't even know what it says, because we just assume we know, because we heard the story, the Garden of Eden. In Sunday school, we heard or we saw the pictures on children's books, a tree, a serpent hanging, and Adam and Eve hiding behind the bush. That is the picture that comes to most people's mind, because that's what we see by the artistic representation on children's books. But it is much more than that. The Lord God planted. Why? Because why did He came to plant this garden? He could have appointed some angels. He had millions of angels waiting for His order to carry out. But God took initiation. He took His own initiation. He came Himself down to earth to plant this garden. Why? Because it was His kingdom. The word "plant" in Hebrew means establish. Just like any other king goes to a foreign territory, plant or establish an embassy of their kingdom in that foreign territory, the Lord God came, established an embassy of his kingdom on the earth, which we call, or the Bible calls, the Garden of Eden. So what was Garden of Eden? Heaven on earth. God's kingdom, the first prototype, God's kingdom nation on the earth. So if you want to know how heaven looked like, if you want to know how God's kingdom looked like when it manifests on earth, we look at the Garden of Eden. That's how it's supposed to look like. It is God's kingdom manifested on the earth, heaven on earth. So God created humans. This may be a revolutionary statement. God created humans not to go to heaven. God created humans to live in heaven on earth.
Amen.
Fly away
from the earth.
That might shock some people, because religion told us we're all waiting to go to heaven. In God's original blueprint, God did not create Adam to go to heaven, because God did not mention anything about heaven or hell to Adam. God brought heaven to earth. It's always God bringing his kingdom to earth, not taking earth to heaven.
Even in the very last chapter of the book, it's still that. What you just said, coming down to the earth.
Always coming down to earth. So then he took Adam and Eve, put him inside that garden. So we were created to live inside God's kingdom forever. That was God's original plan. Where? On earth, not in heaven. Because when we think of heaven, we think of distance. Heaven is somewhere far, far, far country, like the Star Wars movie, you know, somewhere out there. We have to travel, then you get there. No. God brought heaven to earth, and his plan for humans were to live inside that heaven on earth forever. And God gave humans the choice what type of government they want apply to govern with, or to govern themselves and the earth. So there's two trees mentioned in this verse, verse 8 and 9 of Genesis 2. Their tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think we mentioned this before, but I want to recap. These two trees represent much more than just a mere trees that we think of. These two trees represented two kings, two kingdoms, two governments, and two way of life on the earth, two operating system. The tree of life represented God, his kingdom, his government, his way of life. What is the specialty of that tree? There is only life in that tree, no sickness. Wow, how does that sound like? No sickness, no pain, no disease, no curse, no death, no poverty, no envy, no jealousy, no hatred, nothing, no depression in this tree. There is only life.
Yeah. No fear.
No fear. Yes, that's a good one. Because fear is a big one that people face on earth, all of us, or in some level or capacity or degree. So that tree was there. And then the knowledge of good and evil tree was there. That was not belong to God. That belonged to another king, another kingdom, another government, another way of life, an operating system. And you may ask why those three came into the garden. That is a long story. Read the book, The Tree of Life, The Mystery of the Tree of Life book. And I have another book that I will introduce to you today, The Principles of Self Governance. So these two types of governmental option God gave, operating system with two different outcomes, consequences. So God said to Adam, do not eat. That's the only commandment God gave to Adam. Can you imagine, Dr. Ben? No 10 commandments, no do's and don'ts, no thou shalt do, thou shalt do not, no those things. God did not give Adam no constitution, nothing, because God entrusted this earth to his son Adam. It was to a family. So we don't govern our family by writing constitution and give it to our wife and children. No, it's a relationship based. It is love. Though there is guidance and all kinds of, you know, things that is included in it, but the foundation of that relationship was not based on any commandments or any laws or any rules or do's and don'ts. God wants our relationship with him based on love and acceptance, not fear. How many people out there are afraid of whether God really loves them, accepts them? They are not sure. They are not even sure they are saved. Sunday morning, they think they are saved, but Monday morning, as soon as they face a challenge or a trial in their life, the doubt comes. Why? Because of this tree, this system, Adam and Eve activated in the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. So what happened in the garden was not just a sin that the first couple committed. It was the declaration of independence. It was a collusion. Adam and Eve colluded with another ruler, another serpent. It's a serpent. It's actually Satan came through the serpent. Adam and Eve fell for the deception, colluded with this entity, and ran a coup against God and his kingdom. And he said, declare independence from God, his life, the source, his kingdom, his provision, and appoint yourself as God. And then create your own governments. That's why we have several kinds of varieties of governments on the earth. But the foundation of all governments is the same, which is based on the knowledge of good and evil. Whether it is socialism, communism, democracy, whatever type, monarchy, anarchy, capitalism, dictatorship, they all founded and built on this corrupted system called the knowledge of good and evil, where God wanted us to live by the tree of life. No sickness, no pain, no fear, only love, acceptance, grace, and mercy. And when you are one with God, partaking from the tree of life, you begin to heal. That's what I said. You are the cure. That's what I love this podcast with Dr. Ben. You are the cure. The cure needs to start from within. What was the first disease? So if you want to heal any disease out there, because we have the best medical system in the world today, but we have more sick people on the earth today. Am I right, Dr. Ben?
Yes, you are.
We have every 5 minutes, you see advertisement on TV screen about some medicine, some treatment out there. Unfortunately, people of God, please listen to this. Even though we have the best developed medical system and process in the world today, there are more sick people on the earth. There are more doctors and hospitals. But there are more sick people. Why? Because if we need to permanently heal, please listen to this carefully. If we need to permanently heal every disease, sickness that came into earth and to human bodies and humanity, we have to go back and address the first disease. That is the root of all other disease. Unless we address the first disease that produced every other ailment that we feel in our body, believe me, I experienced it, you know, aches and pains. everything that I experience in my body, whether it is whatever form, size, types, location, it is rooted in one disease that Adam and Eve activated, and we call it sin. You know, theologians, religious people calls it sin. But what is sin? You have to listen to what the serpent told Adam and Eve if you need to understand what is sin. Because the serpent said, you will not die. God said, you will die. Serpent said, you will not die, but God knows the day that you eat from that tree, your eyes will be opened. Wow. Which eyes? Adam and Eve had perfect vision. They had 20/20 vision in the natural and in the spirit, because God created us with two sets of sight. Please don't forget this. God created us humans with two sets of eyes. What are they? One is the natural set of eyes to navigate our physical body, to live on the earth, walking, running, driving inside the house so you don't bump into your table, bump into each other on the street. That is the purpose of this sight. This is the first set of sight God gave to us to navigate our physical body on the earth safely. Then there's another set of eyes that God gave to us. That is the eyes of our spirit. What is the purpose of the eyes of the spirit? To navigate the destiny of our life. We were created to be led by our spirit, which came from God, which is connected to God, which one with God. We were created to led by our spirit, not by our natural sight, natural circumstances, or your five senses. So every human being were created with two sets of eyes. And the enemy, the serpent, is saying, if you eat from this tree God said not to eat, what's going to happen? Not you lose your salvation and you go to hell. Another set of eyes will be opened inside you. Wow, wow, wow. What set of eyes? As soon as Adam and Eve from the tree that God said not to eat, the Bible says, you have to go back and read it in Genesis chapter 3, 2 to 5, 2 to 6. The Bible says their eyes were opened, just like the serpent said. Their eyes were opened and they knew. A new sight was opened, a new knowledge originated in human that was not from God, which made them realize that they are naked. That's what they saw through these eyes that was opened through the knowledge of good and evil tree and its fruit. So what is that sight? What happened to humanity when they activated, declared independence from God, His kingdom, His government? A set of eyes were opened. A new sight was opened. What was it? A new way of seeing yourself. That sight talking about how you see yourself. And what did Adam saw on themselves? They became self-conscious. They saw there's something wrong with them. They saw their nakedness. Nakedness is not talking about the absence of clothes. It is talking about a negative self-awareness. How many people struggle with their self-awareness? They're feeling, I'm not good enough. I don't look good. I don't have what it takes. There's something wrong with me. God will not love me the way I am. Where that is coming from, dear child of God? Not from God, not from even from the devil, because devil activated this system. This is a self-generating image, impression, negative imagination that was originated in humanity, this new sight, this new awareness constantly telling, showing us what is missing, what is wrong about ourselves and others and the world around us. That is the reason we are not able to see anything good in ourselves, in other people, and in the world, because we are operating from the wrong sight.
And Jesus came.
Jesus opened blind eyes. Remember? Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The first thing he says, to open the blind eyes. What eyes went blind? Our spiritual eyes went blind when Adam and Eve ate. We became creatures living by, led by this image that we see in ourselves, which we don't like, which is negative, always communicating, transmitting negative impressions, images, imagination to your mind about yourself, God, and others. God has not done anything evil to you. My dear child of God, my brother, my sister who is listening to me, God in heaven has done no evil toward anybody, because he is just. He is merciful. He is righteous. His justice system is impeccable. It's not like the justice system of this world. You give some money, if you have influence, you get away with anything. That's not God's justice system. His government, his justice system is operate in mercy and truth, grace and love. God has not done anything, because some of you, I felt in my heart, you're holding, accusing God in your heart. If God was there, if God is love, why didn't he answer me? Why did he let that thing happen in my life, my family, or somebody that you loved or care, or why he didn't show up when that abuse happened? Right? We all have those questions that we try to impose on God. Why didn't he do something? I was helpless. I was vulnerable. I couldn't do nothing. There was nobody. But God should have helped me. Well, who gave the right to rule this earth? To whom God gave humanity the right to rule? God doesn't step in to intervene, to control people. He didn't control Adam. When Adam wanted to choose this wrong tree, God didn't step in and try to block him. Hey, that's what we expect of God sometime. But God did not intervene. Because why? God entrusted humanity with the freedom to choose what type of government they want on the earth, what type of kingdom they want on the earth, what kind of rulers, kings, presidents, prime ministers they want on the earth. God gave humanity the freedom to choose. And Adam and Eve chose wrongly. They declared independence from God and his kingdom. So from that time onwards, what we see on the earth is these two streams of governments. One is God trying to bring back his original blueprint. He repeated it throughout the scriptures at least three times in a major way. And the other kingdom running parallel, the kingdom that is built on the knowledge of good and evil, the kingdom of darkness. Unfortunately, you and I, even though we are saved, we received Jesus, we did not understand the depth. We only heard the part of the gospel. Some people say we preach full gospel. Even the full gospel was a partial gospel. Jesus came to reverse the damage that happened in the garden. That's where Jesus started his message, first addressing the disease, the first disease. What did he say? Repent, metanoia. Go beyond that self-image that you're struggling with how you see yourself, that's not me. All sending all those negative impression about you, pulling you down constantly, downgrading yourself, that's not God. That information does not come from God. It is coming from the wrong source. That is the first disease that we need to treat. And how do we treat it? Jesus came with a cure. What was his cure? Repent. But we mistranslated that word. The Greek, it means metanoia. Meta means go beyond. You know, Facebook is called, the company is called Meta. Meta doesn't mean feel bad about yourself, feel guilty, beat yourself up because you did something wrong. That's not what Facebook means by the name. Meta means go beyond what humanly possible. Go beyond your current reality. There is another kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is coming back. The garden that you lost, God wants to restore back to humanity. That is the first message Jesus preached. It's not about evangelism. It's not about going to heaven. It's not about going to church. Jesus started where Adam left off. He picked up where that image started, our mind, where you and I struggle with. He said, metanoia. Meta means go beyond. Noia means our mindset. The operating system of our mind. Jesus saying, first thing, this is Son of God, people of God. This is Messiah. I'm not making this up. But we got the wrong translation in our Bibles. Why? Because they don't want you to discover the truth. Why? Because if you discover the truth, it will set you free.
Amen.
So he addressed the mind. Then we have another issue. Our spiritual eyes were closed. We became creatures living by this image that we see in ourselves, the sight through the sight that was opened by the serpent system and by a natural senses. Jesus said, you have to be born again. What happens when you're born again? John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. When Adam was taken by God, put him in the garden, what did Adam see? He saw God's kingdom. What was the Garden of Eden? God's kingdom manifested on the earth. So God took Adam, put him in the garden, and Adam opened his eyes and looked around, and oh, wow. What an amazing place is this? That's what he saw. He could see God. He could see his kingdom. He could see into the spirit world. But that eyes were shut down. This new sight was open. We became creatures living by the self-image of ourselves, which we receive from the wrong source. So when you're born again, Jesus said, John 3:3, please read it for yourself. When you're born again, your spiritual eyes get reopened and you see the kingdom again. That's what Jesus said. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And religion told us you need to be born again to go to heaven. No, that's not what Jesus said. The purpose of being born again is to show us, to restore our spiritual sight so that we can see his kingdom once again and manifest it on the earth. And now the question is, we still have this image playing, replaying. Every bad thing ever happened, ever did, other people did, all the circumstances. We keep on replaying this negative images, impressions, imaginations. What do we do with it? Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Paul said, we don't war in the flesh. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't bomb and shoot and kill. That's not how we fight in the kingdom, in God's kingdom at least. He said, pulling down strongholds that exist in our mind. You and I became operating in this default setting of the strongholds we received or formed in us since childhood. The political system we grew up in, the religion we grew up in, the family that you grew up in, every experience you had since you were born left an impression, added to that image, to the sight that was opened by the serpent. And Paul is saying, casting down imaginations, taking captive every thought. Wow. What is that? What is he talking about? The sight that was opened by the wrong tree, by the serpent system, the thoughts and imaginations that system producing inside us, we supposed to take them captive, taking captive every thought that rises about the knowledge of God and bringing them to obedience to Christ. That's how you do it. Practically, you do it. Taking thoughts, because all those thoughts and imaginations come to you. It's not your thoughts and imagination. So please don't beat yourself up down. Please don't feel bad about yourself. It is coming from the system that was activated by Adam and Eve in humanity. All of us has to deal with it. Bible calls it sin. S-I-N, capital S. Satanic information network. S-I-N. That's what it is, sin. And anything we do based on that system, it produces the wrong result. Dr. Ben, anything we attempt, create, build, whether it is marriage, business, politics, government, religion, churches, anything we build on that wrong system, it produces, end up producing the wrong result. That's what the word for sin in Greek means, hamartia. It's not talking about any action, wronged action or anything. No, no, no. Hamartia means missing the mark. It's like an archery language. You shoot an arrow, you miss the mark. Why? Because nothing wrong with the arrow. The problem was with the aiming. Problem was with the person who aimed it. That's where the problem, not with the destination, not with the arrow, not with the bow. The person who was aiming at this, he missed it. Why? Because it started with the wrong system. What is the solution? You are the cure. The cure need to start national, global, cultural, healing, all the healing our world needs. Where it's supposed to start is not going to come through a revival. It's not going to come through a capital building. It's not going to come through the next election. It needs to begin inside every single human being who is alive on the earth today. That's why they need to hear the gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
That's the few, where the cure starts. That's where the healing begins. We have to address the first disease. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, these other diseases will keep on multiplying. Nobody can control this thing. It's out of control already. It is not something to be treated with medicine that we invented. The first disease, the real solution is Jesus Christ, the tree of life. As for the healing of the nations coming, when we go back to the tree of life, Revelation 22, that's why the Bible ends where it began. So if you want to know about God's government, how he intended to govern nations and humans, you have to look at the beginning, because Bible ends where it began, the tree of life. And the leaves of that tree for the healing of the nations. So healing is not something external. Healing begins internally first inside every human being. That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I just kept on going, Dr. Ben, but I just felt this needs to be said.
It does need to be said. You've said it well. And the hardest part, I think, for me and a lot of people I interact with is we focus on the good in that other tree of good and evil. Yeah. Most people aren't that I hang around with. They're not trying to purposely go do evil. They're trying to do good. They're seeing some good things in these systems, like medical system. They can point to X, Y, or Z. Good. This was good. That was good. That's a good person. That's a good doctor, good nurse. They're trying hard. They love Jesus. The political people, that's a good man I elected into there, and he's going to go do good stuff and can even point to some good stuff that he got accomplished over his 20 years in politics or whatever. And we're just chasing this thing of, there's enough history. And I think you said it in that teaching. It doesn't work. It doesn't produce life. It doesn't produce the cure, the solution that everyone's really looking for. If you're just going to try to go elect somebody or work hard in that, when the source is still that tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's not going to work. And never, ever, ever before in the history of man, you mentioned, did any government ever bring the solution, because none of it's coming from tree of life, God's original blueprint. So we have to be very careful about trying to fill these institutions of man with quote unquote Christian people, because again, that can be good, but
our goal is not to redeem, reform, restore the serpent system, the knowledge of good and evil. Our goal, the assignment God entrusted, is to establish God's kingdom based on the tree of life that Jesus came, because Jesus did not come to reform Rome. He didn't come to change or transform Rome or Christianize Rome. That was not his goal. He left Rome alone because he came with his own kingdom, his own government, and he's the king. But the people of his day wanted him to be like other kings. Go to Jerusalem, set a throne, declare himself king, and overthrow Rome. That was their perception. But Jesus was a different type of king, because his kingdom is not of this world. That's what Jesus said. His kingdom is not of this world. There was a time when he fed them with the free food. They tried to force him to make him a king, just like the kings of this world. He was already their king. He wanted to be with them, among them, in them, and rule themselves and the world through transformed life, not through a political system that is set in a building or a palace or a capital city somewhere. Jesus came with God's original blueprint, which he revealed in the garden. How did God plan to rule this world and Adam? God did not start with a palace and a capital building and a senate in the garden. There was none. It was a family, father and sons and daughters. And Jesus came to restore that sonship. The first thing Jesus gave to us, not church membership. John 1:12, as many as received, believed in his name, he gave them the right to be the children of God. That's what he's called Emmanuel, God with us, not over us, not ruling over us. And we see that same pattern in the tabernacle Moses built. God said, build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them, not to rule over them or to control them. He wants to be with them. God wanted to be with Adam. God was with Abraham. He came to consult when God wanted to do something. The tabernacle was God's visible government on the earth, his divine administration on the earth. And when Jesus came, he is called Emmanuel, God with us, not over us, not sitting on a palace somewhere, because we assume God's government, when we think about God, his government, we assume things based on the history that we experienced as humans on the earth. We read into things. We think Jesus is going to come back someday, set up a throne in Jerusalem, and rule the whole world. It's not in your Bible. It's not even mentioned once in the book of Revelation. Not even once. But we assume. Why? Because that's what we were told by somebody. We don't ever check ourselves where it says. Not a single verse in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, that talks about that. But Revelation makes it very clear. In Revelation 21 says, the tabernacle of God among man. God coming back to dwell among us and revealing his, restoring his, God's original blueprint from Genesis. And we continue that, which we are not waiting. That's another problem with this, because when we think about Revelation, we think about futuristically. And I'm going to make something, maybe create some problem. It's okay. What if we think Revelation is in our past, not in the future?
It's a game changer.
That's a game changer. And that's how we need to think, because Revelation was written to a first century audience. Seven churches that were in Asia Minor. I didn't write it. It's in the Bible. It's there. Things that are about to take place shortly or immediately. That's what John wrote in Revelation chapter 1. What we put this so distant, somewhere out there in the far stretched future, and then we use those verses to define our current political distractions and wars that is happening. We have been deceived. We have been mistaken.
Yes, we have. And that's another show. The Scofield Study Bible and lots more.
Yeah. Well, King James Bible, he's the one who added this word repent, metanoia. He changed that around. He came up with the word church from ecclesia. No way, any sense, you can translate a Greek word metanoia and come up with the word repent. No way.
Yep.
There's no way you can translate ecclesia, the Greek word, and come up with the word church. No way, Jose.
Yeah. And the end of the world versus the end of the age.
Of the age, yes. That's another one.
Yeah, that's caused a lot of confusion.
Yes.
Well,
so here is that book, the Principles of Self-Governance, the solution to the current global political, economic, and social crisis. Are we going through crisis? This one is a good introduction. You can order it from our website, thekingdomnetwork.org, or Amazon, and the message Dr. Ben was talking about in YouTube last week, which was called The Kingdom Concept of Government and Rulership. If you go to our website, the YouTube channel, The Kingdom University, The Kingdom University channel, you will see that teaching there. You will be able to watch the rest of it. It's an amazing teaching, The Kingdom Concept of Government and Rulership.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. The Kingdom University on YouTube, thekingdomnetwork.org is the website.
.org. Thekingdomuniversity.org or The Kingdom University channel on YouTube.
Okay. Well, guys, I hope this caught your attention and hopefully at the least curiosity to go study more, learn more, because the season we're in right now, our lenses are getting changed out. We're getting deprogrammed. We're plugging back into the original, rebooting to that original operating system, the Tree of Life. And it's the Holy Spirit that's writing truth on our heart. God told David, I'm going to build a spiritual house of living stones. That's us. And I'm going to write my truth on their heart. That's the season we're in right now. We've got to metanoia, change our mind from all the old programming, brainwashing, religion, culture, all the things. And let Holy Spirit write truth on our heart individually. It sounds so crazy when you see the craziness in the world, and then the solution comes down to your individual heart being rewired, reprogrammed by truth. And that's the Holy Spirit that does that, not just in your intellect, on your heart. And as we individually, every living stone of this spiritual house that Jesus is building, as we continue on this process, that is the actual solution. Because when you're not operating from a place of fear and scarcity and competition and all the things Jamie Winchester described in the empire characteristics, when you're not operating that way, creativity flows from God for actual practical daily solutions in your life. From the smallest things, like you're at the grocery store or gas station and the Holy Spirit tells you to go left or right or say something to this person or give this person something, to bigger things in business and commerce and education and medical and all the systems, the creative solutions flow when you're operating from that tree of life. But that's because you're secure and you're trusting this invisible word, invisible God. You're trusting he's good, he loves you, he's made a way, and we're not operating from this fear-based system. It's just incredible. As we all individually renew our mind, take captive of those thoughts, get out of that old mindset, old system thinking, and get to kingdom every day, suddenly, boom, connections are made, things start happening, solutions are coming. It's a parallel, not only economy, but a parallel culture in life, and it's the kingdom coming back. God's original plan in the garden, and it's coming back now, right now, like never before, I believe. Abraham, thank you so much for teaching us and for all you do. You and Claudia, your wife, I know y'all are traveling the world. You've written so many books, so many YouTube videos, so many teachings, so many great resources on your website. You just give and give and give. You give an hour of your time and your busy schedule now. Thank you so much for what you do for all the people, for God's kingdom, for God's glory. And you always give him the glory. This isn't about Abraham, John at all. It's about a message, a revelation God's given. And Abraham's being a faithful mouthpiece of the Lord, God Most High. So thank you, Abraham. I'll give you the last word.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dr. Ben. I want to share with our audience, don't feel bad about yourself. Those imaginations, those thoughts that comes to you, it's coming from the wrong source. It's not your fault. Please don't blame yourself. Please don't feel guilty about it. Switch the source actively by speaking to yourself. I do not want to think that. I'm activating the mind of Christ. When you're born again, you received a new sight and a new mind. I have the mind of Christ. See yourself as God sees you, not through the sight the serpent system opened inside of us, but learn to see yourself. God sees you completely accepted, loved, and he calls you beloved. 21 times in the New Testament, God calls you beloved, not a sinner, not a poor sinner saved by grace. He calls you beloved. That's what God thinks of you. Good thoughts. And God bless you. And we will see you again next time, if God willing. Thank you, Dr. Ben.
Amen. Thank you, Abraham. And thank you, audience, for listening. Please share this far and wide so people can be set free. We'll be back next week with another great show. Bye-bye. Okay, awesome.